Game over. It's the Footy Wrap, football's round in review.
And the early markets for next weekend.
With Adam White and Andrew Hughes.
Yes, welcome to another edition of the Footy Wrap. So much to talk about. You're with Andrew Hughes, Adam White in the RSN studios as well. Adam, amazing weekend. So many ramifications, so many interesting results. We'll start with the first game of the round back on Friday night where, of course, Richmond, though, one of the more predictable results, a solid win over St Kilda.
Yes, hello, Andrew. Yeah, it certainly was. I must confess, I thought St Kilda might be a little bit more than just nuisance value against Richmond on Friday night, but it didn't turn out to be that way. The Tigers started extremely strongly, kicking 6-1 in the first quarter, and just the lack of pressure from St Kilda, a lack of intensity from St Kilda, meant that the game was done and dusted by that quarter-time break. And even when you look at the scores at half-time, it was 11-2. It seemed that St Kilda came in with a theory of just trying to keep the ball off Richmond, but that is a lot easier said than done. And when they did that, rather than take the game on and really try and score heavily, which is what St Kilda have done to Richmond in the past, they went in with a different mindset, a different tactic, and it didn't work. So the Tigers far too strong, and they remain on top of the ladder, which is where they should be because they're the best team in it.
Well, Collingwood's win, not a major surprise, but the margin to me was a surprise. To think that the form of the Kangaroos, the importance here, they were jumped early, and in the end, the Magpies by 66 points.
Yeah, this was the biggest shock for me, I think, over the course of the weekend. I was really looking forward to this game. I didn't think there was much between Collingwood and North Melbourne. And to be honest, I actually tipped North Melbourne to cause an upset. I thought they had a terrific chance of winning because their form had been okay. It had been a little mixed, but it had been okay. And Collingwood were very poor in the second half against West Coast the week before. But Collingwood was outstanding. 7-2 at quarter time, 13-5 at half time. They never looked like they were going to lose that game. Every component of the match was Collingwood's. And, they proved that they are a much better team than North Melbourne. So when you see things at the moment, you've got Collingwood ranked 3 and North Melbourne ranked 10. We saw the difference between those two sides. So much to play for both teams. Collingwood trying to stay inside the top four, North Melbourne trying to stay in touch with the top eight, and they didn't play like a team that was desperate at all, didn't play like a team that had so much to play for. So that was really disappointing from the Kangaroos. But Collingwood, I think you've got to give credit to the Magpies. They played extremely well and subsequently won the game by over 10 goals.
Well, the Gold Coast Suns win over Sydney, remarkable. Remarkable in the fact that Sydney were $1.02 to start the game, and when they led by nearly 5 goals, I don't think there was actually any live betting at that stage. And I'll tell you a quick punning story. On my Tab app, I was doing a few multis across the weekend, and one of them I did actually throw Sydney in, but the price didn't increase much at all, so I just took them out again. I thought, well, that's not worth it, and it was an incredible result. It'll go down as one of the biggest upsets ever. A 10-goal start they were getting. They win the game outright.
Yeah, and 29 points up at quarter time.
Sydney. And Sydney don't score a goal in 2 quarters.
Yeah.
What happened? Did it really happen?
Look, I think the Suns were too intense around the ball, were too quick, and had this vibrancy about them that Sydney just didn't have. And once the momentum started going Gold Coast way, it just looked like Gold Coast was going to win. Now, that's easy to say that now through the game, but I must confess, Andrew, I looked at some of the live prices through that match, and at three-quarter time, Sydney were $2.75. And at three-quarter time, it was Gold Coast in front by 20 points. I didn't feel that Sydney were going to be able to win the game from that point, even though, Gold Coast have got these massive issues in last quarters and it was Sydney with all to play for to try and keep their top four hopes alive. They just didn't look like it, and they've become extremely dour. They don't have a lot of excitement about them at all. They're not moving the ball quickly. And, I think they're really missing their experienced players, even though they haven't been great players for them this year. And I'm talking about Hannabury and Jack and McVay. They're still really important players for them, just to sort of direct traffic and direct the tempo of the game. I don't know. They've been poor for a little while, and I think they've been the beneficiary, much like Melbourne, for a really easy part of the draw where they're able to capitalise on that, where they won 6 or 7 games in a row, which has sort of set up their season. They're 11-6, so their record looks pretty good, But it's the amount of games they've lost at the SCG, which is a huge concern for them. It's almost like the venue now just doesn't suit the way they play. So I think even though they're in fourth position, they are very vulnerable inside the eight. And I'd actually be surprised if they made the finals based on what we've seen from Sydney over the last 3 weeks. So really poor performance against Gold Coast, a poor performance against Geelong, and sandwiched in between that was a dour win against North Melbourne, where really they pinched it right at the death.
Well, the next game to look back on, Essendon by 29 over Freo. Took a while to get going. Mind you, they were terribly inaccurate and trailed at halftime. You sense they're still going to be just one game short or so?
I think so. I mean, look, they had to win and they did. They didn't play particularly well, but as you said, Andrew, inaccurate kicking sort of kept the scores fairly close. It was 34 scoring shots to 15, the margin 29 points. Essendon kind of kicked away a little bit towards the end. I think they were hurt a little bit when Sean McKernan went down structurally up forward. They put Hooker into the forward line in the second half, but they're only fair. But there wasn't too much else to write home about that game other than the fact that mathematically Essendon keeps its finals hopes alive. They're 9 wins, 8 losses.
The Footy Wrap, Andrew Q's Adam White on RSN 927. And the Saturday night games, let's go. Well, they were both thrillers. Strange way the both finished close, although the Adelaide Crows were just pretty much safe at the end, but not the Melbourne-Geelong game. It's been eerie over the weekend, Adam. When I was on air, we played a promo. You would have heard where Max Gorn jokes about the scores being very close, them being in front, and drama finish and that. And who would have thought they could repeat the similar scenario? And a cruel loss for Melbourne, because instead of being top four, they're now in the eight on percentage, and they play the Adelaide Crows next week. They're an outsider. They could actually be out of the eight next week. And for the Cats, who you have been spruiking for a while, that's a big result for them.
Well, I think it's, to me, it's a lesson for Geelong that when they actually play football, when they actually attack the game, that's what they're capable of doing. So at three-quarter time, you know, they're down and looking beaten. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, Melbourne led by 23 points. Geelong had to take the game on. They had to move the ball quickly. That's what they did. They kick 8 goals and win the game. Now, obviously, they won it after the siren, but that was so much better in the last quarter when they attacked rather than playing this passive, conservative football, which I'm not still sure why they did what they did, but they've become, you know, I was talking about Sydney being dour. Geelong have become a bit dour despite having the most informed forward in the competition in Tom Hawkins and some of the best midfielders in the competition, Dangerfield, Ablett and Selwood. I don't understand why they play at times such a negative brand of football, but that last quarter shows what they're capable of doing when they actually release the handbrake and have a bit of a crack. Look, Melbourne supporters will be really disappointed in losing the game, but they shouldn't be disappointed in how they played the game. You know, it was a very high-quality game of football, particularly in that second half. Melbourne deserved to win in so many ways, but at the end of the day, they couldn't manage the clock. They couldn't manage the game at the end. They had some opportunities to make sure that Geelong didn't get the ball towards the end, and some sort of elementary, unforced errors have cost them victory in the end. But I still maintain Melbourne is a good team. But they are a young team, and young teams are prone to making mistakes under pressure. And that's what's happened to Melbourne arguably too many times this year. But if they play that brand of football to that quality over the final 5 games, I still think they'll play finals.
Adelaide Crows by 5 points over Brisbane. This had a tight finish right at the end, but the Crows were, of course, enough in front to just hold on. It was all happening at once, these 2 games, of course, but Adelaide have left it too late now, you would feel?
Look, I'm not sure.
I was going to ask you that. Well, they're $4 to make the $8 at TAB, and Essendon are some of the other sides around there are a lot shorter.
Look, I mean, to be perfectly honest, who knows who's going to make the $8?
Someone could, like Adelaide, could win out the rest of the season and sneak in.
I mean, I think $4 is a good price for Adelaide, considering they're only a game out.
Yeah, that's why I got a shock at the price, actually.
They've got a couple of, I mean, they've got a lot of these tiebreaker games, Adelaide. So
but that's good for them because they can knock out their opponent
by
picking up the 4 points.
I mean, even just the next 2 weeks, they've got Melbourne and Port Adelaide. So, look, I sort of feel, and I've said this a few weeks ago, that Adelaide and the Giants are almost playing some of the best football. It's just that they're coming from so far back. And Essendon's a bit like that as well, considering the Bombers have won 7 of their last 9. But it's just a question of whether they've just got too much work to do. Look, all Adelaide needed to do was to go up to Brisbane and get the 4 points, and they did. It was only by 5 points, but they got the win. And they kept their season alive.
Well, Hawthorn keeping their season alive. They, again, this inaccurate kicking, is it's remarkable how the skills from set shots, even under no pressure, are continuing to see sides rack up behind tallies. In the end, they kicked along and they actually covered the line. And I think you might have said on air that you thought the line was a little bit low for Carlton Hawthorn. And in the end, it proved that, that it was, what, 72-point margin.
And made me work for it, though, didn't they? Gee, they were...
Did you take the tab minus?
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
They did.
And look, it was 8-7 to 1-2 at halftime. And clearly, Hawthorn took the foot off the pedal in the third quarter and really missed an opportunity to get, you know, a massive percentage boost. They still got a little bit, but I think they end up kicking, what, three or four goals in the last 5 minutes to blow the margin out a little bit towards the end. But I still think Hawthorn's a bit better than average and not much better than that. If they were to make the finals, I think they'd be making up the numbers. I think when you look at the ladder and see Hawthorn in eighth spot, I still think Geelong is a better team than them. Melbourne, they're a really difficult one, Hawthorn, because you look at it and you think, oh, who would you trust? You'd probably trust Hawthorn over Melbourne, Hawthorn over North Melbourne, and Hawthorn over Essendon. But North Melbourne did beat Hawthorn, and you think some of those other teams have got the weapons to actually stop Hawthorn, but I don't know, there's this trust I have in the Hawks. Even though they're not playing great footy at the moment, they find themselves in eighth spot, but it does get a little bit more difficult for them now with the final five games. Their draw's not as easy as it was through this little phase. I still think at the end of the day, Andrew Hawthorn will be ruining those two losses to Brisbane.
West Coast Eagles seem to have ridden the rough patch when they started to slide. That was a good win for them. And Adam Simpson, of course, now says they'll play finals, but they're obviously eyeing a bigger spot than that. They did what they had to do.
Yeah, they did. Difficult conditions. The Bulldogs kicked the first couple of games, and you thought, oh, hello, particularly after what had happened on Saturday with Gold Coast beating Sydney. But the Eagles have got too much firepower up forward, and that was always going to be the difference in the game. You know, they just hit 100 points, but Darling was very good. Kennedy looked dangerous. And they've just got a really good even team at the moment, the Eagles. They're now a game clear in second spot. But the key for West Coast is that they're actually now two games clear inside the top four. So with only five games to go, you would think that the West Coast Eagles are going to finish top four. They've just got to try and find a way of finishing inside the top two. So, you know, this week's a really important week for them. The Eagles play North Melbourne in Tasmania. And with Richmond playing Collingwood, if the Tigers were to beat the Magpies and the Eagles were to beat the Kangaroos, they'd be two games clear inside the top two. So that's what they've got to focus on. I'm just not sure they're quite good enough to be able to win at least two finals in Melbourne. But we've got to remember they did beat Collingwood and beat them quite comfortably at the MCG. So I still think, Andrew, that West Coast are a genuine premiership contender. They have beaten Richmond this year, albeit in Perth. So they've got that confidence, and they've also got to win over the third-placed Collingwood at the MCG.
The final game of the round saw the Giants beat Port Adelaide, and the Giants now are the fourth tab favourite in the betting for the premiership at $9. They're $1.15 just to make the eight. Actually, before the weekend, they're $1.80. So there was time to get on. And at one stage, we know they blew out the gate. They were $3, $4, $5 to make the eight. So they have now resurrected their season to the point where they are a contender, Adam.
Yep, they are. You know, this is our team that we followed even through that rough patch, Andrew, that of all the teams that were likely to come from below, that it was the Giants if they were able to get a few players back and get their confidence back into them. And we kept talking about how, Andrew, they were over-assessed because of the expectation on them at the start of the season, that everyone kept saying their season was over and they can't make it, and they were only ever really 2 points or 6 points outside the top eight. They now find themselves incredibly not only position six on the ladder, but only 2 points outside the top four. And they've got St Kilda and Carlton in the next 2 weeks.
I didn't realise that. That's a very, very good scenario.
Yeah, it's a really good situation now for the Giants. They've got Sydney after that as well, so they've got some really winnable games. I think, you know, when you look at the teams around them, I think the Giants are the most likely to finish inside the top four. So to my eye at the moment, I think it's Richmond, West Coast, Collingwood and the Giants, the likely top four. And the Giants, I think, are playing the best football of anyone at the moment in the competition. To be able to travel over to Adelaide twice in the last 6 weeks to win, very impressive considering players that are still missing from their team. They've beaten Richmond, albeit by 2 points, but they did beat Richmond at home. They very nearly beat West Coast over in Perth with an undermanned team. There's not much more now the Giants have to do to suggest that they are very, very dangerous.
All right, our remaining...
Can I just say Port Adelaide were really disappointing.
Yeah, they were, especially off the back of losing the week before against Frio. So they've blown... Yeah. It's amazing they're still fifth. They've blown two chances...
Huge opportunity,
...to entrench themselves.
And they've actually been pre-ordering now for a month. Mm. They got through averagely against Carlton. They were average against St Kilda. They're getting lots of inside 50s and they're not converting. They had 58 inside 50s last night and they only managed 8 goals. So there's a fair bit that's broken in Port Adelaide's team at the moment. They had a great opportunity over the last month to set up themselves inside the top four. They've got to change. I still think they've got the team that's a top four team, but they've got to change because it's not working for them the way they're playing at the moment. And, you know, their draw's mixed. But, yeah, they've been a bit disappointing.
In our final minute, just a quick word on some of the close betting games at TAB for this week. You'll look at them in depth later in the week when we know of injuries, match review and betting changes. But Essendon, Sydney's a beauty to start us off. $1.75, the Bombers, their favourites, $2.10 Sydney.
Yeah, I think Essendon, I'd be picking Essendon there, just from what I've seen from Sydney over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Collingwood, any chance with the hype at $2.75 against Richmond?
I think Richmond were too good for Collingwood earlier in the year, and there's nothing to suggest that it would be different the second time around.
The other close games, Adelaide Crows $1.70, hosting Melbourne $2.20.
I'll be with Adelaide there.
And probably close in the betting, North Melbourne $2.10, West Coast $1.70 down in Tassie.
That's a tough one. That's a real tough one. That's almost North Melbourne's last chance. They do play the ground very well. Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. That's a really, really tough one.
I left the real short price ones. The other two favourites around the $1.50 are Port and the Bulldogs and Hawthorn Frio. Do you see any concerns?
I think Fremantle would be a bit of a chance in that
one. Okay.
It a little bit depends on whether they can get a couple of players back, but... yeah, I think that Hawthorn be a bit vulnerable in that one.
All right, more tipping and betting to come across the week,
Adam. Some good matches
coming
up.
Yeah, there are. We'll look forward to the Footy Late Mail later in the week. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You can hear the Footy Wrap again on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.